All right, this morning as we move into our third week, it is a special week here in the church. We lit our pink candle, which signifies the joy that we have. But I don't know if you've noticed this in your life, but sometimes when everything is going right and good, sometimes joy doesn't seem to taste quite as sweet, or we forget about it. It seems to be the moments in our life that are a little less sweet that help us appreciate the moments it might be the joy that we get to experience. And I was thinking back over Christmases past, and I don't think my wife will mind me telling this story. She will let me know immediately if she does, while with all of you present. And do what? You're watching her? You're watching? Okay. All right. But we were living in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, and one year we went and we pulled out the from our shed out back, we pulled out the Christmas decorations, and we were getting ready to put up the Christmas decorations. And I think Grace was 1 or 2 years old. I don't know if we had Beckett yet. You don't know what I'm talking about, so you just nod along. Yes, he's right. Whatever he said is true. And so we pulled out the Christmas decorations and we opened them up, and we were so looking forward. You know, we would like to make apple cider, and we were turning it into a whole thing, getting ready to put up the Christmas decorations. And we had these beautiful stockings. They're the, like, the cross stitch looking stockings, and LLBean.com. And you can, we had them, and they had our names on them, and they had these, you got a special print for each of the kids we had at the time and for us. And I think we even had one for the dog.
Yeah,
of course we did. And so we had these stockings, and we went in there, and Nikki reached in to pull out the stockings. And when she pulled her hands up, they just disintegrated in her hands. They just completely fell apart, like they were just unbelievably old. They just turned to dust right in front of us, right? And I remember that we finally figured out what it was. There was a musty smell in there. And I'm going to offer this as a cautionary tale for you. We had it stored outside in a completely covered, rain-tight area with a lid and everything. But we figured out what had happened is that a snow globe froze and broke and then melted, and then sat there all summer just getting cooked.
In
a good old watertight Tupperware, keeping all of that down in there. And so we lost several things that were in there, but specifically those stockings. And here's why I remember those stockings so vividly. We were waiting, and we were expecting Grace that year, the year before, 2 years before, however long before it was. And I remember it was like October, and we were pregnant, and we were supposed to deliver at the end of November, early December, and Grace ended up getting here a few weeks early, but it was October, and Nikki was wanting to order the stockings. And I wouldn't let her order a stocking with Grace's name on it yet, right? Because I'm just a mean person. But I wouldn't let her order the stocking because we had been hurt before. We had never gotten this far along. But there had been other times that we had been pregnant and waiting and wanting and thinking and desiring. And I think it was just a year before that we miscarried on Christmas Day. And so Nikki wanted to order this stocking because she was so excited, and we were going to have this baby. And you saw this baby down here today. She's 12 going on 37. in the most wonderful way possible is what I mean that, and I promise. But I remember that my heart couldn't take looking at a stocking and receiving it in the mail if something happened between now and between then. And so then when we ordered that stocking, it was a big deal to me that we had this and to our family. And then we went in and we pulled it up. And I've only seen my wife distraught a few times in our life together. How many years now?
How many now?
You don't even remember?
That Alabama game that one time.
And but she was distraught. And I didn't want it to be a reminder of a promise that didn't come true. Right? I didn't want it to be a reminder of a promise that didn't come true. And you see, this Christmas, we celebrate a promise. We celebrate a bunch of promises, to be real. But what is a promise before it's fulfilled? Is it a wish? Is it a hope? Is it a guess? Is it a word? Is it a pledge? Is it a guarantee or an assurance? You see, we live our life based on promises. things that we hope will come true, things that we believe will come true, things we commit to that will come true. And in a good life, many of them do. And in every life, some of them don't. But we come together during this Christmas time to celebrate that a promise bigger than every other promise has come true. We'll gather on Christmas Eve, and we'll gather here, and we'll have communion together, and we'll pass the little light around the sanctuary, and it will swell, and it will grow just like the promise of Christmas has grown, and it has swelled, and we will carry it back out into the world. It is such a beautiful service. And that's not a plug to get you here because we count heads. That's not it. It's because it's a wonderful way to celebrate the meaning of Christmas that will come the very next morning. We're going to be looking in Matthew 1, 18 through 25 this morning, and we're going to walk through the scriptures just a little bit together. And we shared with this in Sunday school, but we're going to start with verse 18. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. When Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph, before they were married, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit." I'm going to read that to you one more time. Verse 18. "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. When Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph, before they were married, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit." Now, I feel like we read through this during the Christmas season and we remember the story, so it doesn't really strike us as you know, too overly interesting, maybe. But I want you to imagine in your relationship with someone, if the wife or the person you're engaged to comes in and says, "Hey, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. I'm pregnant. It's not your baby. It's God's baby. But you're responsible for it." What do you think that dinner was like? Right? Maybe, we don't know. Maybe there was some intense fellowship that happened. I got to imagine, I can't help. You see, Matthew doesn't really talk about Mary all that much. We're really just given the setup for Mary. This really begins to focus in on Joseph, which seems a little strange. What Matthew does is, if you go to Luke, it's a little bit more about Mary and a lot of what goes on with her. But here, for some reason, the author of Matthew wants us to focus in just a little bit on Joseph during this time. "I've got some crazy news," Mary sort of says. "But it also comes with a promise that this child will be what our people have waited for. That this child will be holy, that this child will grow, and we don't understand what that's going to look like or what that's going to mean, but we're signing ourselves up for it." I don't know if Mary went in and she was just like, "Here's what's happening, I hope it's okay with you," or if she went in and was like, "You better get on board and know what to do, and this is what's happening." I don't know. We begin to see a little bit of how Joseph responds. In verse 19, it says, "Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. Because he didn't want to humiliate her, he decided to call off their engagement quietly." Now, I want you to catch the significance there. It doesn't say Joseph was weighing his options. It doesn't say Joseph was, you know what I meant. It doesn't say Joseph was 51-49, keeping her or not keeping her. It says Joseph had decided. Joseph had decided, and it says he was counted as righteous because he decided to dismiss her quietly, because he didn't want to humiliate her. So he was going to call off the engagement quietly. What was Joseph thinking? I can't imagine what must have been going through his head. Do I believe her? Do I not? Is this real? We've waited on the Messiah forever. Could it be us? I mean, I think that would be my question. The reason I think I wouldn't believe is because it couldn't be me. It couldn't be her. Why would we be chosen to have this Christ child? Why is he going to come back as a baby that we have to raise and not as a reigning king splitting through the clouds, correcting everything as he comes down? And then my most likely reason for not believing it would be, I just don't think God would choose me. I just don't think God would choose us. We're not royalty. We're not rich. We're not overly special that we can tell. He's a carpenter. She's just Mary. That's what we know. We know about Elizabeth and Zechariah. He was a priest. Maybe the baby needs to come to them. But instead, they get the forerunner of Jesus, and we get Jesus. Verse 20 says, as he was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, and I love this part because Joseph goes to sleep knowing what he's going to do, but it looks like perhaps he decides to sleep on it. Because it says an angel comes to him, but then it tells us that it happens in a dream as he was thinking about this. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child she carries was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, all of this took place so that what the Lord had spoken through the prophet would be fulfilled. The words from the prophet in verse 23 say, look, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did just as an angel from God commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he didn't have relations with her until she gave birth to a son. And then Joseph is the one who names and calls him Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's so much to love about the Christmas story. But as you dive in, I would encourage you, the Christmas story doesn't appear in Mark, it doesn't appear in John, it doesn't appear in Acts, it appears in Matthew and in Luke. And both of them are fairly different, if you're willing to dive in. The one we tell and the one we put on the manger scenes, we take them and we bring them together and we mold them into one big story that makes us feel good and nostalgic, and we leave out a lot of the parts that make the story what it is. But this, among so many things, is a story of redemption. A story of a path that Joseph didn't see. A story that he could not imagine. A life that he did not plan for. A wife that was not the same person that he thought she would be, perhaps. He doesn't know what he's getting into. It's one thing to say you'll love each other forever, no matter what, but then to be committed to the life of this child that's not yours. We know the special type of love and faith that it takes to be a step parent. It's a beautiful thing. It's a hard thing. And Joseph, even though he was a righteous man, had considered dismissing her quietly. But the angel comes to him and offers him redemption. So today, on this Sunday of Advent, where we celebrate and we light this pink candle to remind us of this joy, it's the one that's set apart for some strange reason to remind us of what this joy looks like. I have a question for you. Have you ever experienced the joy of redemption? There may be no sweeter joy. As part of what we celebrate on Easter, we get redemption. It's part of what we celebrate when we go through our communion liturgy and we forgive each other no matter what's happened. We get redemption. Have you ever forgiven someone and seen redemption on their face? Have you ever been forgiven? And it blows your mind because you never believed you could be redeemed. My friends, that is the story of humanity. That is the story of my life. That is the story of your life. That is the story of the people who came before us. That will be the story of our children and our children's children and so forth and so on until the end of time. And then we will celebrate that redemption has come for all people, everywhere, all the time. Because redemption came to be with us in the child of Jesus. You see, the story of Christmas is a promise. But the story of Christmas is also a demand. You see, we love the Magi because they bring the gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then we tell everybody that that's why we get Christmas presents. It's because we're doing what the Magi did and they brought Jesus stuff, so you get a hoverboard, right? Or a gift card to Amazon. I don't know what your grown kids get you. It's probably not good. But we are offered redemption. But with that promise, there's also a demand. You see, like good old Joe, he was just a normal guy, trying to be righteous, trying to do the right thing. We don't know what his life looked like up till now. But he decides, and God decides to give him a second chance. And we gloss over that a little bit during this Christmas time, and here's where it comes back to roost in our hearts. I think all of us need a second chance sometimes. All of us need some redemption. What's your favorite Christmas movie? I promise this relates. It's A Wonderful Life. White Christmas? Anybody else?
A Christmas Carol.
A Christmas Carol. That's a great one. I figured somebody would say Die Hard and Gremlins. Yeah, I got you. I knew it was coming. Somebody say Christmas Vacation?
Yes.
Home Alone. Yeah. That one's mine. Somebody just said it. Home Alone. I love it. We watched it just the other night. You said I was watching the wrong channel? We watched it just the other night. Now here's where this ties in, people. And listen to me for just a second. I didn't realize it until I was watching and having prepared for this day. But Home Alone is a story of redemption. Right? Kevin's a jerk. His uncle was right. His mom was a little meaner to him than she intended to be. And she forgot him. Kevin redeems himself. The mom, she doesn't wait on the airplane. And it's not because she's figuring out the time and she really wants to get there sooner. She says that's what it is. But the honest truth is she believes she's got to do some penance. She's got to do everything she can to make up for the fact that she left him behind. And then they come together at the end. And they're redeemed. And then the dad just says, "What a funny little guy." And then it goes on. I don't know what his character was there for, but he's there. Maybe Joseph. Maybe Joseph felt a little bit that way. The wet bandits never find redemption. It's a story of redemption. Who needs your redemption? Doesn't mean blind forgiveness. We've went through that in a series before. You know my favorite redemption story in Home Alone? It's the one who at the beginning we're told he's the murderous old man. Yes. Who scoops up the ice. And he looks ominous. And he has resting jerk face. And he just looks like it's probably true. But he's kind. And he wants to do right. But he was told by his family not to. Maybe a little bit like Joseph. But at the end, he listens to a little boy who tells him to give it a shot. My friends, that's a little bit of the Christmas story for us. Now, Jesus grows up, and he's not always a little boy. But I want you to hear today that Jesus is telling you to give it a little bit of a shot. Redemption is coming for you, and it's a promise. But redemption is coming for others. And I hope that we get to be a part of that. Because this redemption story requires something from us. Let us pray real quick. Lord, we thank you that you came to this earth. We thank you that you lived among us, that you have given us this story of your birth, that we have heard from the shepherds and the magi, from Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah. And we are grateful that we can find ourselves in this story. Perhaps sometimes we feel like life has just happened to us. Perhaps sometimes we are the ones who need the second chance and the redemption. Lord, give us strength and courage to live the way that you taught us to live. In your son's name we pray. Amen.